Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining me for another podcast. My name is Patty. The shop is Herbs to Your Health. If you would like to ask a question and don't want to call the shop, if you want to call the shop, the number is 724-836-7440. If you are shy, you can send an email. So go to the website and contact Patty. It'll send me an email and I answer all emails and usually phone messages too within 24 hours. I was thinking about a 90-year-old woman who got a mammogram. Mammograms are totally unnecessary. Oh, I heard statistics about, for every 1,000 mammograms, something like 50 women are diagnosed or misdiagnosed, and it actually kills one person. It doesn't really do anything to save anybody or something like that. I forget what the statistics are. But when I try to convey that to people, they say, well, my doctor said I need to get it. When you're 90 years old, you don't need a mammogram. I don't think you need one at any age, whatever. This person also had major surgery and now is going to get a pacemaker for quote unquote peace of mind. Your body, your choice, you can do whatever you want to do. I say let's think about being our own authority. Do you remember in the 1960s, parents and teachers complained that the younger generation had less respect for authority than they did when the teachers and parents were that same age? In the 1980s, everybody repeated that. No respect for authority. In the 2000s, well, you kind of get the picture. Every generation has progressed more in the same direction because we're all trying to dissolve the old habit of submission to authority. At least some of us are. Traditionally, organizations were run on hierarchies of authority. In order to work within a hierarchy, you're expected to surrender your willingness to think for yourself and instead obey orders without question. Human creativity is thereby suppressed, and this kind of structure encourages people to be closed-minded when they're exposed to any new information or ideas. You're kind of getting the clear picture here. Sounds like control. People with open minds, on the other hand, can think for themselves and therefore become their own authorities. Being open to new ideas, they can awaken to creative new solutions and challenges in their work and in their lives. Once you free your mind to think for itself, these new ideas and solutions can be gained from three main stages of focused conscious awareness. The first one is concentration. So we use concentration to make a study and a rational analysis of all available material. The next stage is reflection. This is the process of digesting information, sleeping on it, thinking it over on more than just one occasion. It opens up the problem to more levels of consciousness than just the daily waking consciousness. Each time the situation is examined, a more insightful overview is obtained, leading to deeper and longer lasting solutions. And then meditation, which we know is a state of alert awareness, the full power of your intuitive insight can be accessed. In this state, your intuition senses the whole reality of the situation and delivers information which would be unobtainable by any other means. The deeper the meditative state, the clearer it becomes as to what the best solution can be. So if you have practiced these for many years and many decades, the minute you hear something, you say, you get a yes or a no. Your body says yes or no. And so, you know, you don't have to say anything. You just register that. That's the impression that I got. Let me just go through my steps. So let's just hope that more people are becoming self-empowered in all facets of life. So you can rely on your own perception about what is best for you. The medical establishment used to be the authority on what's best for your health. Most aware people, I say most, or should I just say many or some, have already replaced that with self-education in nutrition and natural health care. Religious authorities are becoming increasingly ignored in favor of spiritual self-education. You know, when it comes to matters of authority, remember, it's better to be your own authority than to follow the crowd, wherever the crowd is being led by the, you know, this news of the day. All I'm saying is that within you is all the insight you ever need to reach wise decisions about every challenge that you face. No one on the planet knows more about you, your body, your psyche, your situation, your needs, and your potential to find joy in all aspects of life but you. So let's just all think about being our own authority. Back to the 90-year-old. Her doctor said dizziness is a sign you need a pacemaker, and she doesn't even get dizzy. I'm thinking that maybe neurotoxins make us dizzy. It's a neurotoxin is a synthetic or naturally occurring substance that damages, destroys, or impairs the functioning of the central and or peripheral nervous system. So when you think about the central nervous system, I think about the encyclopedias. When I was a child, we had a set of encyclopedias, and I was very drawn to the human body one, and they were clear pages that overlapped, and one what had the circulatory system on it, you know, the heart and all the tubes. And then you turn the page and the next one was the brain and the nervous system. And you could see that the nerves go into your feet. And some people say they have neuropathy. Well, it could be because of chemicals. Unfortunately, these days our food supply contains many chemicals that are slowly chipping away at our health. These chemicals harm or damage nervous system neurons in the brain and body communication centers. Some are nerve toxins, some are immunotoxins, some disrupt hormones and neurochemicals. Just saying, if you avoid processed and ultra-processed foods, you can avoid most of these neurotoxins. So they're either added to the food during processing or leach into food from plastic and other packaging. If they're processed, packaged, market prepared, you know, a synergy of harm occurs when these chemicals are combined, because they're in, you know, they're in everything basically, packaged goods and beverages. Many children today eat half their calories as processed items from packages, boxes, plastic bottles, and other fast food. They may look appetizing, but they addict little young brains and adult brains and taste buds to crave them. They contain little nutrition and much harm, and it is well documented. They often trigger immune responses known as inflammation. The toxins in the body act as anti-nutrients. So let's not go there. First we avoid, and then we need to add more antioxidants, minerals, and cofactors to our diets in order to counter these anti-nutrient effects. Because as careful as some people are, I would say many people are very, very careful and cautious about what they eat and drink and think and do and who they hang out with and how they spend their time. You know what's best for you. But no matter how careful you are, you're going to get some, I think. I don't know. Acute exposure to neurotoxins can cause rapid onset of symptoms such as headache and dizziness, nausea and vomiting, twitching, spasms, fainting, respiratory distress, cardiac arrest, seizures, chronic headaches and fatigue. That's if you're exposed to them a lot. This was in the, I'm going to say, early 80s. I was in a Chinese food restaurant in Pittsburgh, and I took one bite of the Chinese food and wondered who was hitting me on the head with a baseball bat. I really thought I was going to have to be taken out of there in an ambulance, but, you know, I just put my utensils, chopsticks, whatever down, and just sat there until the person was finished and said, I need to leave now. So, and as it turns out, that was MSG, monosodium glutamate. Some people react very, very strongly to that. I'm not sure Chinese food places put it in anymore, you know, the ones that like the takeout ones. And I actually did check with the local, one of the local ones, and they said, yeah, that went out in the 80s. So they don't use that anymore. Could also cause difficulty concentrating or focusing. Think children, hyperactive children, breathing problems, numbness or tingling in the hands or feet. So MSG is like the number one. It's really a bad one. Aspartame, that's Equal or NutraSweet or, you know, the packets. Aspartame, really, really bad. Popcorn, it's something that they put in, that's the artificial butter flavor, very bad. Toxic minerals, mercury, cadmium, arsenic, lead, and nickel. They can actually get into the plants unless you're eating 100% organic. Fish could be high in mercury and other toxic minerals. The carpenter, it's been like three carpenters ago, he said he had a tattoo of a shark on his arm, upper arm. And it was, I first met him in the summertime and he wasn't wearing sleeves. And I said, oh, I see you have a shark on your arm. He said, yeah, it's the shark that I killed when I was out on a, I don't know, fishing expedition. I said, what'd you do with a shark after you killed it? And he said, I ate it. And then I got mercury poisoning and almost died. So, not a good thing. Aluminum, make sure if you're baking, use organic baking powder because that could have aluminum in it. Glyphosate, which is a GMO biocide, it harms your brain and body. So, I mean, if you, growing our own food would be great, but if you don't have a spot to do that, just be as careful as you can choosing organic foods. And, you know, sometimes the cauliflower that I buy, I have to cut off the brown spots, but I thank the cauliflower anyway for, you know, serving my body and being organic and all of that. this story comes from a young woman with three children and a business. She's a business owner. Three children under, eight and under, at Christmas time. So she came in basically to see what was wrong with her. And she was said, you know, I can tell you all of my symptoms and everything, but I really don't need to know that when I do a consultation. I'll figure it out. Well, it didn't take me long at all. Just looking at her, you could tell she was in a state of adrenal exhaustion. It's a busy time, Christmas. You know, in multitasking used to be a really good thing. Nowadays, I think it just adds to the stress. It's stressful to have a full calendar, multiple responsibilities, and a to-do list that seems to never end. I say make a to-do list for the week. And sometimes mine goes into the next week. It's like, hey, if it doesn't get done, no big deal. So, you know, if it's a life and death situation, take care of it right now. If it's something that can wait, let it wait. What's the worst that can happen? You tell people, well, I didn't get around to making pizzelles this Christmas. I'll make them in the new year. Anyway, stress wreaks havoc on our minds and bodies, and it can manifest into adrenal fatigue or adrenal exhaustion. It's adrenal insufficiency. When our stress levels rise, the adrenals produce hormones such as cortisol. And then when you have chronic stress, the adrenals keep up this response and continue to tell the body it's an emergency. If cortisol levels remain elevated in the body, it can affect proper functions such as sleep. That's the insidious part of adrenal exhaustion or insufficiency or fatigue, that you can't sleep. So it's a vicious cycle of not being able to sleep, fighting being awake at night and fighting sleep during the day. I heard somebody, well, I heard them because we were talking, and they said it to me, my best sleep is between 5 a.m. and 8 a.m. in, you know, the morning, because you can't sleep at night. That is a really good time to have good dreams. I say it's more like, you know, 4 to 6, 4 to 7 or something like that. But if you have to be up and out of the house by 8 a.m., you can't sleep until 8 a.m. So that just adds to the stress. So if cortisol levels remain elevated in the body, it can affect proper functions. Well, immune system is another one. So what are the signs? Chronic tiredness or tiredness without reason. Inability to get up out of bed, even with enough sleep. Like, you know, how many times do you hit the snooze button on the alarm clock? Difficulty thinking clearly. Now, if you are a very zen person with no stress and not too many obligations, and you know, you can do whatever you want when you want to do it, and nobody's the wolves aren't at the door, so to speak, you probably don't know what I'm talking about. But everybody else, we all know what we're talking about. Trouble staying focused, difficulty thinking clearly, feeling overwhelmed, craving sweet or salty foods, feeling more alert and awake after 6 p.m. than the rest of the day. That's another sign. People say, I wake up, you know, it's like I'm totally alert at 6 p.m. and then try to get everything done that I didn't get done during the day. And then you get overstimulated, and then you can't sleep again. Frequent anxiety, numbness in the hands, and shaking. This young woman said, I can't stop shaking. And also she had hives, which is another 100% stress-caused thing. So the adrenals also produce epinephrine or adrenaline, which is a necessary contributor to your fight or flight mode. Adrenaline does some amazing things really fast in your body. It increases the heart rate, it constricts your blood vessels, it opens up your small lung airways, it converts fat and glycogen into glucose for energy use, it increases your metabolic rate momentarily, dilates your pupils, so that if you need to run away from a saber-toothed tiger, you got it all going on. Or if you have to lift a car off your cat. I've known old ladies to lift cars off their cats. How do they do that? Yeah, it's all that adrenaline. So cortisol is an anti-stress hormone. It's secreted by the adrenal glands as a response to physical or mental stress in order to quickly free up your energy reserves. It's an anti-inflammatory, think hydrocortisone. So that is similar to prednisone, which is what doctors administer to people for short durations. And it stops the allergic reactions and inflammation that leads to rashes, asthma, hives, whatever. Cortisol is similar to this substance. It's secreted from your adrenal glands into your bloodstream in the highest amounts in the morning when you need it to get going with your day. And then there's a drop in the evening. So that's why when you have an outbreak of hives, they seem to get worse at night when you're trying to sleep. Insufficient cortisol is a major cause of emotional outbursts. So let's just say that if you've ever had adrenal exhaustion or adrenal fatigue or adrenal insufficiency, you know what that is. And let's hope that none of us, it doesn't last long for any of us, because when we have the awareness and then we know what to do, what the remedies are. The adrenal glands are the glands of adaptation. They respond to both stress and fear. I haven't figured out yet how to not process stress, but I'm pretty sure I got the fear thing under wraps, because if you realize that there is nothing to be afraid of, there is nothing to be afraid of. So when people say, well, what about, shouldn't be afraid of that. I don't know. You know, the mind can come up with all kinds of things to be afraid of, but then it stops when you say there's really nothing to be afraid of. So then you stop thinking about things. It's interesting for me to observe people that whatever you think is what dictates your life. So why don't we all think positive thoughts? And then we'll have positive effects in our lives. Anyway, strong adrenals allow someone to handle stressful situations calmly. Poor adrenal function raises anxiety levels and makes us worried about life. The adrenals are associated energetically with the solar plexus, our center of gravity, and help us to remain centered. Failing to listen to our gut feelings and suppressing our emotions, especially anger, will stress the solar plexus and not only weaken the adrenals, but create maybe a hiatal hernia thing. So we can no longer digest life, or some stomach problems, or, you know, let's just say if you're in your mid 70s and you have stomach problems, digestive issues, you also have a lot of memory problems, don't take Prilosec. That's going to exacerbate your memory issues. So we all want healthy adrenals because they keep us calm, centered, emotionally stable, and able to respond well in stressful situations. Weak adrenals make us fearful, filled with worry, rigid and flexible, and anxious and nervous. That's kind of a simple view of it. Kind of true, though. We all can take more vitamin C and B complex vitamins. And then we can add adrenal support, which actually has B complex vitamins and vitamin C, which both are critical to healthy adrenal glands. In fact, vitamin C is, the adrenal glands have the largest store of vitamin C and B complex vitamins in the body. The production of epinephrine and norepinephrine requires vitamin C and B complex vitamins, and pantothenic acid, vitamin B5, is another nutrient critical to adrenal function. Zinc and magnesium are depleted by stress. Zinc is often used as the body's adrenal hormone. And there's schizandra berries and licorice root. Then we can add some adaptogens for adrenal support. If you're not taking ashwagandha every day, I would say consider that. It's a potent hormone balancer. It helps our bodies adapt to stress. It protects our brains from oxidative stress. Rhodiola is another one. Ginseng. So we have the Siberian, we have Eleuthero. Or the Asian ginseng, which is Panax, or Korean ginseng. So we can take those two. And I just wanted to leave you with some tips for the winter months. You know, when it gets dark at before 5 p.m., which we know this is a very short-lived kind of thing. In January, it stays light later. But the winter months, not much sunlight. Of course, we have been most fortunate, and we are very grateful for any sunshine we can get in the winter months. But I say winter is a time for hibernating, like the bears. Rest. So, you can read books. You can just sit in silence or silent prayer or meditation and look out the window. That's a good thing to do if that's what you feel like doing. Live with the daylight hours. Make vegetable soup or some kind of nice stew with a lot of vegetables in it. And then you can eat that. It lasts, I hear, for 4 days. You can, eat what's ever in your refrigerator. And root vegetables and sweet potatoes and spinach and carrots and cabbage and mushrooms, and those are all warming foods. And then we can put in barley or millet or lentils, a really nice vegetable lentil soup. Adaptogens, our adaptogenic herbs are very, very helpful. Warming herbs. Pumpkin spice, ginger, cinnamon, cloves, anise, fennel. These herbs all help circulation, and they keep the low back or kidney region warm. Curcumin is something else to take. And don't forget those four herbs that used to be in the combination called FV, flu and virus. Licorice, ginger, capsicum, and golden seal. And those will help you ward off viruses, and VSC will help you ward off viruses. And for me, winter is a good time to support our dream time. So if you want to drink some ginger tea or peppermint tea before going to bed, that helps with dreams as well. This is my last podcast for 2023. Hopefully I will be back with you in 2024. So I would like to wish you all a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holiday Season, as stress-free as possible, as joyful as, you know, let's not limit our joy. And if I don't come back in 2024, you have many, many, many podcasts to pick from. As it was pointed out to me yesterday, you've covered every topic, and I'm pretty sure I covered every topic I could think of two or four times. So enjoy listening, and thank you very much for listening. Please come to Herbs to Your Health, 106 South Pennsylvania Avenue. Bye.